Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts this evening comes from the 24th chapter of 2 Kings, beginning there in the 18th verse, going on to the 25th chapter to verse 7. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, that he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city. And the king went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and there pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, we have a saying that when you're the last one out of the building or out of the room, you should turn out the lights. Last one out, turn out the lights. Well, in our theme this Lenten season, we've been talking about the King of Kings, who is, of course, our Savior Jesus Christ. That is what Lent is all about. Concentrating on Him and what He accomplished for us on the cross in our behalf, His sufferings, His final death, and also the resurrection. But we've also been comparing the other kings who served Jerusalem, who served Israel and Judah. And tonight, we have picked the last king. We've talked about, and to give you an idea of the timeline here, about 1,100 years before Christ was born, Israel got its first king. His name was Saul. We already talked about him. And about 1,000 years before Christ was born, King David and his son Solomon reigned. We've talked about those two kings. We've also talked about King Ahab, one of the most wicked kings of Israel. We've also gone into the New Testament a little bit, talked about Herod the Great last Sunday. So why Zedekiah? Well, as our theme tells us, Zedekiah is the king who turned out the lights. You see, he reigned about 600 years before the birth of Christ. And if you go back in history, if you look at that timeline again, just right after Solomon, the kingdoms divided. Israel as a nation that had been together under David and Solomon, all the sons of Solomon argued and warred, and there was a big division. There was a divided kingdom, 2 tribes against 10 tribes. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. Judah was that southern kingdom of 2 tribes. Northern kingdom was called Israel, had 10 tribes in it. And that lasted, you know, the 2 different kingdoms, like for instance the northern kingdom, Israel, lasted about 283 years. They had 17 kings. Judah, the southern kingdom, lasted about 320 years, and they had 20 kings. The very last king, they lasted a little longer than that northern kingdom. The southern kingdom, Judah, 20, 30 years before Zedekiah was king, the Babylonians came in and conquered Israel and carried off all kinds of slaves, carried off all of the temple garb and everything that made the temple beautiful, took all the gold, all the silver, all the ornaments and all the trappings that went in the temple. And then King Nebuchadnezzar put in charge a puppet king named Zedekiah. Zedekiah had to pay tribute to King Nebuchadnezzar, the Assyrian king, or the king of the Chaldeans, as he's called. The Babylonian king is another name. And he did for many years. But then one year he decided not to pay tribute to King Nebuchadnezzar. And that, of course, infuriated the king of Babylon. So he came and, as our text says, encamped against Jerusalem. So Zedekiah was the last king of the southern tribe, Judah. And when he was defeated and captured, you could say he turned out the lights on the children of Israel, on Israel itself. And when I think of this, and I think of how the Lord so loved the children, this chosen people, set them aside, and despite their rebellion against him again and again and again, and it started the moment they left Egypt, didn't it? Even at the Red Sea, they said, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the desert?" And then Moses, empowered by the Lord, parted the Red Sea, and away they went on dry land. Miracle after miracle, even the visible presence, pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, for 40 years, still they rebelled. Even when they were granted the promised land, Canaan, gone in there. Even when they decided that they were sick and tired of just having judges and they wanted to have a king, and the Lord warned them and said, "You know, a king will take away your sons. He'll tax you. He'll make your daughters his servants. He'll do this and that." Still, they wanted to be like their neighbors and have a king. So that's what we've been looking at, the kings of Israel. And tonight's king is the man who turned out the lights. Finally, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. In other words, it was over. In fact, in 2 Chronicles we hear, "Zedekiah did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord." You see, it wasn't that the Lord didn't communicate with Zedekiah. He did. He spoke to him through the prophet. But Zedekiah, power-hungry Zedekiah, ignored Jeremiah, the prophet of the Lord. Ignored the very words of the Lord that he sent through Jeremiah. So in other words, it was over. This wicked king was the final nail in the coffin of a wicked and rebellious people, the children of Israel. Those northern tribes, they'd already disappeared. Southern tribes, this was the last ones. And finally, this reign of Israel was over. The Lord promised in Ezekiel what would happen to Zedekiah for his rejection. Listen to this. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath which he despised and my covenant which he broke, I will recompense on his own head. I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and try him there for the treason which he committed against me." It's summed up in our very last verse, isn't it, when it says, "They bound him with bronze fetters and took him to Babylon." Zedekiah rebelled not just against the Lord, but also against Nebuchadnezzar, the one whom he was supposed to be subservient to. He rebelled against him. And so Nebuchadnezzar came, as our text says, and laid siege to Jerusalem. It was about a year and a half. And terrible things came from that siege. The people ran out of food. It sums it up in our text. So the city was besieged until the 11th year. And by the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. That's really putting it mildly compared to what we read in Lamentations 4, verse 10. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people, in the destruction of Jerusalem. Finally, what happened? No food. Everybody's getting weak. It's time to run. And that's what all the warriors who were left over, that's what Zedekiah himself did. They ran for it in the dark of night. No concern of the people. No concern of the fact that the walls of Jerusalem itself, their city was being breached. Off they went. They ran away, a cowardly retreat. You might say, Zedekiah turned out the lights. He was the last one out. But they caught up to him, despite the fact that he tried to run away. Despite his army was scattered away from him, nobody protected him. And the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, caught up to him. In a very last cruel act, they took his sons, killed them in front of him, and then put his eyes out so that that would be the last thing he would ever see. What a punishment, a physical punishment, was given to Zedekiah for his rejection of the Lord, for his rejection of his own ruler, his king, who was Nebuchadnezzar. What a mess. Where's the gospel in all this? This is all law, isn't it? This is all what one wicked man did, what one wicked nation really, truly deserved. The wrath of God, the just punishment of death. Well, it's not the end. The Lord never left his children. The Lord even, and you know the stories, Daniel in the lion's den, all the men who were carried away, the wise men who were carried away, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all these guys who went over and served in the Babylonian Empire, were carried away as captives, rose to power, and the three men in the fiery furnace, you know all those accounts, they recorded God's word, it was left there. In fact, I believe it's because of those things that happened way back there in Babylonia that the word of God spread that they left behind. And so that later on, 600 years later, when the King of Kings made his arrival in that lowly stable in Bethlehem with the star, that those magi from the east came. Where did they come from? The word of God that was left behind in Babylonia and other places, where the word spread and did its work, and where God-fearing people wanted to follow up on the promises of God about the Messiah. The Magi, the wise men from the east. So 600 years after Zedekiah turned out the lights on all of Israel, and that was the end, because from then on it was ruled by, for like 300, 400 years, it was ruled by Assyria. Then it was taken over by the Roman Empire, and right up until the day Jesus was born, when Caesar Augustus caused all the world to be registered, as Luke 2 tells us. Now we're right there when Jesus was born, when Jesus came onto the scene. And what did people think when Jesus came onto the scene? When he did these miracles, when he fed 5,000 people, when he spoke so well against the religious leaders who were keeping the people under their thumbs, the people thought their king had finally arrived. Could this be the king who would restore Israel to its former glory? Rome was bad news. The rule of Rome felt just like the rule of Babylonia to these Jews in Jesus' day. They so desired to be delivered from their physical problems. But God had much more in mind for them than restoring their pride or their national integrity. He had much more in mind for them than filling their stomachs with some bread and fish in a miraculous way. This king whom God sent would be their savior. And he would save them. He would deliver them but not through any earthly power or might, but through the power that comes from the cross, from the message preached, and his gospel, his declaration that he has carried your sins and mine to the cross, nailed them there, and they're done away with, so that God looks at us and declares us not guilty. That's the power of the cross. It wasn't accomplished by Jesus parading around in all his majesty. Just the opposite. It was accomplished by Jesus humbling himself and allowing sinful men to lay hands on him and punish him and torture him and finally nail him to that cross. It wasn't accomplished by some miraculous, spectacular spectacle, but it was the death of a criminal, of a man whom you wouldn't have been able to pick out from any other Jewish man in a crowd, who died on that lonely hill of Calvary. But as we read in our text, as soon as Jesus gave up his spirit, as soon as he cried out, "It is finished," and said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," that's when that humiliation part of his life ended. And from then on, the exaltation began. That's when the earth quaked, the rock split, the veil in the temple, you know, how thick was that veil? Some say like 6 to 8 inches thick, woven cloth, ripped in two from top to bottom. Symbolic of the fact that there is now nothing between us and the Holy of Holies. There's nothing between us and God. Jesus' death on the cross made sure of that for us. There was no majestic parade to celebrate what he accomplished, this King of Kings, for us. Not until 3 days later, Jewish time, according to Jewish time, when Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday morning, victorious over sin and death, with that message of salvation and eternal life that has been ever since guaranteed to you and to me and to every believer everywhere. This Sunday we will be celebrating Palm Sunday, Lord willing. It's a day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem just 5 days before he died on the cross. But he made that triumphant entry where many shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." He is the King of Kings, our King. Zedekiah was not the last king God would give his people. Zedekiah was the last king of Israel. But after this last king, God would send a king who is last of all and whose kingdom would last forever. Such is the kindness and love our God has planned for us. Such is the mission of your Jesus, your King of Kings. Amen.